This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to all of you on this Lord's Day, here in the Lord's house, gathered to hear His word and receive His supper. Make sure you fill out your attendance sheets that are in your news and notes. Place those when you leave in the offering basket or near it, if you would, please. And again, today, as we're kind of returning to more of a normal communion practice, we are going to treat the tables separately. So the West and the East tables will be dismissed separately. Ushers, again, during the Agnus Dei, you'll come in and set up the entire rail. And we do have the short West rail and the pad right here beyond the communion rail, so you know where that's at. I don't think anything else needs to be said. We begin with our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We turn together to Psalm 27 in the front part of our hymnals. We chant verses 1 through 9 responsively by whole verse. I will chant the odd-numbered verses, the congregation, the even-numbered. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. He will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. Be gracious to me and answer me. Hide not your face from me, turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Be with you. Let us pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, since we cannot stand before you relying on anything we have done, help us trust in your abiding grace and live according to your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The epistle is recorded in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have an ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text today, as they have been for many of the last Sundays, is from the Gospel of Matthew. And it comes from the parable of the hired servants. I read again verse 6. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" Dear Christians, it's really pretty simple. The more you work, the more money you make. If you don't work, if you spend most of the day idle, sitting around doing nothing, you're not going to make much money. What you make is directly related to how much and how long you work. You know, an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Oh, sure, there are unemployment benefits, but that's only intended for those are only intended to get you through until you find your next job or you get called back to work. There's short-term disability, but that's just to tide you over until you're healed up and ready to get back on the job. But typically, if you don't work, you don't get paid unless you're totally disabled or retired. Well, Jesus told a parable about a vineyard owner who went out early in the morning and hired workers for his vineyard. They agreed to work a 12-hour day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., for a denarius, an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. But about the third hour, what would have been 9 a.m., the vineyard owner went out, saw some guys in the marketplace standing idle, doing nothing. So he sent them out into his vineyard, promising that he would give them what was right at the end of the day. The same thing happened at the sixth and ninth hours, noon and 3 p.m. Finally, he went out about the 11th hour, 5 p.m., and found some other guys standing around doing nothing. And he asked them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" So he sent them into his vineyard, even though it was almost quitting time. Well, as you know from the parable, 6 o'clock came. The men lined up to receive their pay. The foreman of the vineyard started with the last, the guys who had only worked 1 hour. Lo and behold, he paid them a denarius, a full day's wages. And finally, the foreman came to the guys who had spent the whole day in the vineyard, laboring under the sun. And man, they couldn't wait to get paid. If those guys who only worked 1 hour got a denarius, just imagine what they would get for their labors. They got a denarius too, a day's wages, just like they agreed, just like the owner of the vineyard promised, but they didn't like it one bit, and they let him know about it. "We bore the burden of the day in the scorching heat. You've made them equal to us." But the owner defended his actions. He had not wronged them. He had paid them what he said he would pay them, a denarius. It was his money, and he could do with it as he chose. If he wanted to pay those part-timers the same wage, he could. And he asked the workers who had worked all day, "Do you begrudge my generosity?" Of course, Jesus here isn't talking about a vineyard. This is a parable. Jesus is talking about his kingdom. Jesus has called us to faith in him. Jesus has brought us into his kingdom of grace. Jesus is now our gracious King. And Jesus has put us to work in our congregation, in our communities, in our families and homes. Jesus doesn't want us standing around idle, doing nothing. There's work to be done. There are neighbors to be served through our daily work. There are unbelievers to be evangelized and a world to pray for. There are children to be taught and to be brought up in the fear and instruction of the Lord. There are brothers and sisters in Christ who need to be strengthened and encouraged, forgiven and comforted. There is a gospel to be preached and sacraments to be administered. Those are the things we are to busy ourselves doing. That is the work that the Lord Jesus has given us to do and to support as members of his kingdom until that day when he comes again. You see that all over Paul's letter to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Remind them, the baptized believers in Jesus, remind them to be ready for every good work. Again, I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. Once more, still chapter 3. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as not to be unfruitful. You have to ask yourself, are you standing around all day idle? Are you really not doing anything? Are you ready for every good work? Are you devoted to good works and to a life that is fruitful with the fruit that Jesus wants to produce in you and through you? If not, then it's time to repent for being idle and unfruitful, for neglecting to do the work that the Lord has given you to do. It's time to ask God's forgiveness, not only for the bad things you have done, but for all of those good works you have left undone. Repent. But don't just repent. Repent and then remember the work that Jesus undertook for you. Repent and then remember the long days he labored, preaching and teaching, healing the sick and driving out demons. Repent and then remember that long Friday, that Good Friday, when Jesus' saving work came to its agonizing completion and his task of redeeming you from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil was finally finished. Jesus said so from the cross, it is finished. Repent and then remember how he rested in the tomb and how he rose again from the dead on Easter Sunday. Repent and then remember and rejoice that your risen Lord Jesus is now hard at work through the gospel and the sacraments, bringing his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation to you and to others like you, born in sin and doomed to death. Again, we hear St. Paul from Titus, this time chapter 2. Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. But here's the deal. When the last day breaks upon us, when it's quitting time forever, when we line up before Jesus on Judgment Day, each of us, all of us who believe in him and are baptized into him will receive from him his grace and blessing. Not just a fraction, not just a portion, not just our fair share, but every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We will receive the fullness of his grace and blessing. And we'll receive it equally. Not because we have earned it, not because we deserve it, not because we have worked hard in his kingdom and busied ourselves serving others, but simply because our Lord Jesus is gracious and our Lord Jesus is generous. And that's why his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. He is the Lord who has compassion on us sinners, who abundantly pardons us and generously blesses us. You know, one of the things we do when we read the Bible is we always read it in context. And Jesus told this parable right after he had a little exchange with Peter. A rich man had come to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus had said, "Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me." And the man had walked away sad because he was very rich. But then, of course, Peter pipes up, right? Peter said, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." But then Jesus fires this warning shot over the bow at Peter. "But many who are first will be last, and the last
first. In other words, don't get too big for your britches, Peter. If we stand before Jesus on Judgment Day and we start comparing ourselves to others, if we start thinking that, hey, you know, really, I should get more blessings than others because of what we've done, because we've suffered more and sacrificed more and worked longer and worked harder. If we begin thinking that way, then it's no longer about God's grace, but about our works. Not about God's giving, but our doing. Then we don't want what Jesus chooses in his grace to give us. Instead, we want, maybe even demand, what we feel we have earned, what we think we deserve, what we believe we have coming to us because of our exceptional labors in his kingdom. No. Now, we leave that to Jesus. And that's a good thing. Because he truly is a generous Lord. Jesus always gives us more, much more than what we deserve. The blessings that he earned for us by his saving work are far greater than we could ever earn by our works. In fact, if it were not for his generous grace, we would be turned away on Judgment Day empty-handed. No blessings, no life everlasting, only the wages of our sin, death. So whether you're an apostle like Peter, or like Paul, as we heard in Philippians 1, who have labored for the gospel, endured persecution, and faced a martyr's death, whether you've been a pastor or a teacher who has spent your life preaching and teaching God's word, whether you're a Christian parent who worked hard at providing for your children and raising them in the Christian faith, whether you're a faithful member of a congregation who has served in various offices and on committees and auxiliaries, or supported the work of the Lord with your generous offerings, whether you came to church and Bible class every Sunday or many Sundays or fairly regularly, and you've lived out your daily callings the rest of the week, whether you've been a Christian your whole life or part of your life, or if you, like the thief on the cross, came to know Jesus in that 11th hour, it doesn't matter. We will all receive what our generous Lord, in his generous grace, chooses to give us. And I can guarantee you this: you will not be disappointed. On that day, you will not think of yourself as having been treated unfairly or badly. And far from begrudging Jesus' grace and generosity, you will stand there on that last day and marvel at it. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.